Minute Morning Show. Welcome back. We live in the city with the greatest NHL team of all time. Your Toronto Maple Leafs are hot. And let's talk to Nick Kypreos about this. And this insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Kipper, how about them Leafs?
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, the vibes are high.
Are they ever? Mm-hmm. It's almost as if people, they haven't got a clue what to think right now.
They're so confused
right now. They're not used to this. Yeah. And it's like, what am I watching here? You know, yeah. It feels almost like you're in high school and you see the hottest girl going out with the nerd. And it's like,
is this about me?
Yeah, exactly. What is she doing with him? Yeah. And it's like, people are trying to figure it all out. And it's like, no. She likes him. She just really likes him. And it's like, do I buy that?
No.
Is there more to it?
There is.
Well, we've bought in on the Leafs. We had the text line open today. And a lot of people are, they're jumping back in right into the flaming pit. They're ready for it.
Well, you know what I find most interesting about it right now is that people's complaints are not centered around anything that really matters. Like, they're like, oh, the third pairing on the blue line. You're like, okay, well, yeah, that's something that they'll probably address at the deadline.
Or the trade deadline.
Yeah, and, like, it's very minor things. It's not, oh, wow, this group or the core or the mentality, the goaltending, you know, like it's been in years past. Like, things that really show up in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And, Kipper, I want to ask you this question. This is a bit, like, more difficult to answer, but so I did this video yesterday on Jack Campbell and how he's been so good that it's a little underrated because people are like, what's different about the Leafs? What's different about the Leafs? And it's like, well, they're getting consistent goaltending every single night. They're getting top tier goaltending. But also, even when I did this video, I felt a little disingenuous because I do feel like when I'm watching this team that there is something different, that something has sort of evolved with this group. I can't tell if it's a maturity. I can't tell if it's just, you know, the natural progress of being through it with a group that's getting older and a little bit better, if they're doing things more defensively, even though the advanced stats don't indicate that that seems to be the case. Like, when you see the group as a whole, what is it that is getting you to believe that, hey, this actually might be, like Ehlers said, the best team in hockey, or it's at least one, they're at least one of the best teams?
Yeah, I agree with you on many points that there's just nothing to find right now on what's wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they have one of the best months in hockey history, and there is nothing to nitpick. The only thing you probably undersold, consistent goaltending. They're getting off the charts goaltending.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. And again, when we talk about the league in general and what the salary cap has done to each team, and there's always a hole somewhere on each team. And we saw it last night. Colorado's supposed to be one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. You're going nowhere with that goaltending. They went out. They got caught in a scenario where they lost Grubauer because Joe didn't think that there was anything past $5.5 million out there for him to get. And he totally misread that. And now you're in catch-up mode for a guy that gets hurt a lot in Kemper. And sure enough, one of the biggest games of their season against one of the hottest teams in the league, they fall flat on their face because they end up with a guy that really has no business right now, you know, being in the NHL.
I like him.
Johansson. So
yeah, keep him in, actually.
There's holes everywhere. But right now, what Jack Campbell's been able to do is phenomenal. And now, to your point, JD, you look around everywhere else. The stars are playing like true stars. The third line is very comfortable right now in their checking, and that's even with Kasha out of the lineup. And now even the fourth line. Like, the only issue I had at the beginning of the season is sometimes you look around the league and a fourth line thinks that they're a first or second line in waiting. And now they're starting to act like a real fourth line. And Simmons is locked in right now in his role. So there is nothing going wrong right now that you could even begin to say, well, you know, there's always this. It's just, no, just enjoy it. Sit back and enjoy it. But at the same time, you know, it's a month of November. There's a lot of meat on the bone here for a lot of things, including guys getting hot and cold, injuries, COVID's out there. And the Leafs have been one of those teams that's been blessed right now. But you don't know how this is going to play out for another 3 or 4 months before you even think about the playoffs. You don't want to be, and the Leafs have been there before, you do not want to be sitting in April going, well, they didn't win the Stanley Cup, but we'll always have November.
Nobody wants that, and that's definitely a fear. And one thing that we did talk about with you a couple weeks ago was when Jack Campbell negotiations had started and there was rumors flying around that he had been talking to the Leafs about a potential extension, but there's been no update since then. Did they hit a little bit of a bump in the road? Did they lowball him? Do you know anything more about that contract conversation?
It was probably very quick, Ailish, in terms of the Leafs trying to take a crack at maybe getting him to sign something, but it was not in the ballpark that they need to get to now. And the price of poker just keeps going up for them. They know that there's not really anything that they can do. I don't think they're in a position right now to sign him to a contract that he will get now and start worrying about how to make the math work. I really believe if Jack wants to be here, which we all know he does, and they want him really bad, that you're going to have to wait until the summer months to balance it out and figure out. But it's not too early. I will tell you this. It's not too early to start thinking about getting Peter Mrazek back in and playing well. And if by chance you can dump his contract before the trade deadline, you absolutely have to take a crack at that just to get yourself in a position of maybe signing Jack Campbell prior to the summer.
So I actually look at Dubas here where he's going to be in a tough spot in terms of a narrative where people are like, if Jack Campbell leaves, they're going to go, you should have locked him up when he could have been cheaper. If they sign him to a bigger extension, people are going to say, why didn't you get this thing done sooner, blah, blah, blah. And if he was to get it done sooner and something happens to Jack, if there's any type of regression or an injury, people would just jump on that and go like, oh, you stupid. Why'd you sign the guy that's been injured and who hasn't proven it before to a contract before he's done it? So I actually like the way that he's played it out. I would say go to the table, see if you can get him on the very, very cheap. You said negotiation was short. That means that it wasn't close. They're not close, but he had to try. He had to get the feeler out there. You walk away from the table. You say, let's wait until the summer. The Mrazek thing that you just said, though, is shocking to me. I said earlier in the show there's 0.000% chance that they would trade Mrazek because you don't want to go into a playoff series with Joe Wall as your backup goaltender. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, you're right, but you don't necessarily even have to. You can go find someone off of an existing contract. Look, we don't know we don't know where Dallas is going to be. They could be out of the playoffs, and there could be Holtby sitting there on an expiring contract at $2 million. It's not the be all end all that you're just going to go to Hutchinson or Wall. I mean, there are guys out there on contracts that will be expiring, that will be expendable, depending on their team situation. And you can easily fill that void with an experienced guy by the end of this season.
So let's talk a little bit more about last night's game because we're all riding a high still. And, you know, I think the Leafs are the best team in the universe. So you got a chance to talk to a familiar face, Kadri, this week on your show. What was that like? Does he have any bad blood with Toronto? Obviously, last night he put himself on the score sheet and made himself known. But do you think that it's time to for some fans to revisit that trade and want him back? Or was he happy to be in a new place?
Well, it's funny, Ailish. I think he was asked by someone in the media I'm paraphrasing, but, why aren't you still here? Or why do you think you left? Mm-hmm. And he just said, I'm not the guy to ask that question. So I do believe in a perfect world that he would still love to be a Toronto Maple Leaf and be part of, I think, what is shaping up as a real legitimate shot to win a Stanley Cup for the first time here in 1967. But it's not. But, you know, if he was here, I don't think he'd be in a position to possibly command as much as $6 million or north of $6 million on a long-term deal this summer. He would have been comfortably behind Tavares and Matthews. And now he has a chance to really shine and hit a home run. He will not be in Colorado next year. There's no question that they can't afford to sign him whenever they want to start with negotiations with Nate MacKinnon. That's the focus for Colorado. It won't be Nazem Kadri. And I'm hearing negotiations will start at $13 million for Nate MacKinnon. So how do you even think about signing Kadri? So Kadri will be on a new team next year, and he can hope that, like Leaf fans, it could include renegotiating or at least negotiating with a new team as a Stanley Cup champion.
Honestly, how much could Nova Scotia cost? Like all of Nova Scotia.
He probably bought Nova Scotia if he gets $13 million. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, can he get in range? Can he make an offer? Can he put in a bid? The Nazem Kadri thing to me is very easy. It's very simple. Like all of it. But I will say that people will always root for Nazem Kadri because that guy loved the Leafs. And I still think that he loves the Leafs. And I think that even with all those chances of him being in Colorado and doing all that stuff, and yeah, sure, he's going to get some money, and maybe that's a little bit different of an equation, but I think it still stings him that he wasn't here. I think that he loved his time here, and I think the fan base can always tell when someone recognizes that it's special to be a Leaf and embraces that. And so Kadri's always going to be one of our guys. Even though he did such dumb things in the playoffs and he arguably cost them a series win against Boston, like, think about how vilified most guys get when it's Jake Gardner, for example, who gives a turnover. Kadri didn't even have a chance to get a turnover because he took himself out of the series, and people are still like, I love Naz, you know, like, if we could get him back here, we'd get a time machine. We'd love to bring him back. I love Kadri. So
how many, JD, yeah. how many guys, like, throughout the bad times, the jokes, all of it.
Yep.
How many guys scream leaving? They want to get out of here.
Yep.
They still absolutely love being a Toronto Maple Leaf and everything's about it. And the highs are way better than the lows. You know, even Marner and what he's had to endure in social media, which I think is a complete farce, a joke. But yet, you know, he loves being a Leaf. He wants to win here. The upside is greater on winning here than it's ever been. I had a small sample of that in 1994 of winning a Stanley Cup in New York City for the first time in 54 years. I still go down there. I can't buy a dinner. I walk around Madison Square Garden, and it's remarkable. And it's like, you know, it's over 25 years, right? And it's like, they don't care. They want that same treatment here in Toronto.
So last night, we thought it would be something of a statement game coming in against someone basically tied in cup odds with their star back in the lineup. Obviously, they didn't have great goaltending, which is fine. Do you think that this changes anyone's confidence level in what to expect in the postseason as they've kind of taken down a big giant that was a looming thing in the future about, oh, they're going to play a hard team finally?
Yeah, that's... It's kind of goes to what I said earlier that it's November. It's just getting out of November. And I think it's still really hard to get there, Ailish, in terms of, wow, you know, this is a team that's going to go on an amazing run. This is the year we're going to win the Stanley Cup if you're a Leaf fan thinking. But those are building blocks. And there's no question right now they feel like they can beat anybody in the world right now. And when you're getting solid goaltending, and that to me is the whole key. Like, the difference between middle teams right now, if you're a team between 10 and 18 in the standings, the difference between you jumping ahead is if you're getting great goaltending or not. And the Leafs quite possibly could have been they could have been the Montreal Canadiens. Oof. Last year, they could have been in a Stanley Cup final against Tampa Bay. But a guy named Carey Price came along and completely single-handedly shut the door on them in the last three games. And that is the one position that can always do it to you in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if you've got it, great. Like Colorado, you take Jack Campbell out of the Leaf net last night and you put him in Colorado. I think Colorado quite possibly could have won that game last night.
Oh, I agree.
Okay. And Sheldon Keefe read a quote from him saying, I didn't get, we dominated mm-hmm. out of last night. And that's like, that score says dominated, but he wouldn't go there. And he is correct. That is a good team in Colorado with no goalie. And that still is what can happen to you if you don't make sure that that area is very solid for you.
It's very solid right now. This has been very solid. I would like to do one negative because today has been so incredibly positive.
It's
been
possible?
Too good today. Yep,
it is. Because we've said everything's perfect, everything's hunky-dory. And I don't think that's the case. I think there was one guy last night that didn't play very well. And he's been not playing very well for a lot of the season. And he doesn't
Carlton the Bear had a bad night.
I don't know. But apparently Carlton the Bear is a bit of a diva. Like he needs to be. Remember the vaccine story where we're like, he might be there?
Oh.
Yeah, come on. That was a throwback for the people in the room. For the people in the room. I just think Justin Hall is still fighting it, man. And I still see a guy that looks like he's trying to do too much. He thinks he's the tough guy on the team, and he's not. And he thinks he's like the shutdown defenseman on the team because they're asking him to be one of them, but it doesn't really feel like he's that either. And I just see a guy who is stuck between roles and can't really figure out what it is that he's supposed to do. And if I'm looking at things where, hey, the Leafs have to just kind of shake that up, or what is the tipping point for this continuing, he's the, like, there's a lot of heat on Nick Ritchie right now, but at least when I'm watching Nick Ritchie, I'm going, yeah, you know what? Now it's starting to feel like he's a little bit snake bit, and now he's down the lineup and he's kind of properly slotted in. It's not a concern for me. You know,
no.
Like I'm not watching Nick Ritchie right now going, what the hell is wrong with you? It sucked when he was on the top line, but not right now. Now it's fine. But with Justin Hall, I'm like, this is a developing issue, and I don't feel good when you're on the ice, and I don't feel good when the puck's in the Leafs end. And that's bad because you're supposed to be the pairing where I feel the best about when the puck is down there.
Okay, if we're really going to nitpick, then...
I don't think this is a nitpick, though. Like, this is your top shutdown pair, and one of the guys is like, oof.
When you go 15-2, you're nitpicking today.
Fine.
But it's okay. It's okay.
But he was on the ice for the two goals where I went, what the hell? You know, like, that's what I mean. Like, it just... Fine, I'm nitpicking. I'll do that, but we're
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I have to do it. I had to do it. I needed to ask you about it because I know you watch all these games and you see it. You see it. Do you see it?
I don't care what the month of November says.
Yeah,
this defensive core will not look exactly the same when you start the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't believe for one second that blue line as is good enough to win a Stanley Cup. So does that answer your question at all?
Well, there will be
tweaks. They will add some depth. They need. They are one heavy top four defenseman away still. And the great news for Kyle and Brendan, they can go shopping right now in a mm-hmm. position of strength. And there's no need to feel like, if you're another team, that the Leafs are desperate for that guy today or next month, or if they want, they can wait to the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But that blue line, to your point, is still not one I would be very comfortable to start a Stanley Cup playoff with.
Love the left side. By the way, I thought you were going to drop a heavy F-bomb there, and I was like, Kipper, this isn't real Kipper and Bourne. This is a family show, you know?
They're driving their kids to school right now.
Yeah, we're for everyone. We're for all ages. We're not your show where it's like 18-plus, mature audiences only. You know what I'm saying?
Sign a waiver.
I've been working on that.
Yeah.
Oh, have you?
Oh,
you should
yeah.
work a little harder, buddy. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Aww.
I'm just kidding.
don't aw me. I don't get enough aws in this show. I'm already the bad guy enough.
I got a just kidding out of you.
Yeah, it's true.
You were nervous there for a second.
I did. I got a little nervous. Well, you know what? I'm always the one where people go, aw. You know, like, I get aws from Blake. I get aws from Ailish. So I'm just, you know, the bad guy. The show bad guy.
Good.
So
good. We need a bad guy. There's always... There needs to be a villain.
Everyone wants to be the good guy.
Can't be a good guy without a bad guy.
Yeah.
Nobody goes to the movies without a villain. Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
This guy is a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Kipper, you're the best, man. You're not the bad guy. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
See you, pal. Nick Kiprios, Real Kipper and Born.
That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. He also thought it was November there, right?
A lot of times he thought it was November.
Buddy, it's December. It's Advent calendar.
Get that Christmas shopping going, buddy. It's December. Bing bong.
Bing bong.
You know what that means? Hey, you know why we all know it's December? Because the three of us, we pay rent.
Yeah.
Nick Kiprios pays mortgages. Oh, he's not looking at the rent schedule. He is not.
Do you guys do advent calendars?
No.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's how I remembered it was December 1st.
That's how you remember?
Well, like you get excited. It's like when it's the night before, you're like, oh, I get to have my advent calendar tomorrow.
Do you know why I don't do advent calendars? Like in all real.
Because you fast.
No, because I have no portion control, so there's no way that I'd ever able to like have one little piece of chocolate.
It's a good way to train yourself. You open the little door that says one, and then you open the little door that says two.
I know how the advent calendar works, Ailish. She's like, and then it's December 3rd, and you get to eat the chocolate from December 3rd. Thank you.
So I've had roommates for pretty much forever, and generally I will get me and my roommates an advent calendar. I live alone now, so it's just me with like three or four advent calendars, different ones, you know, judging which one's best. But no, one of my roommates would basically do what I think you're getting at here, JD, is he would like withhold for a week and then eat a bunch of, up. At
Guys,
the end.
Come on.
No, that's what I did as a kid.
And then like he'd be like, oh, I'm going home, you know, for Christmas on the 18th or whatever. So then on the 18th, he eats them all for the rest of the calendar. So he would basically eat an advent calendar in like three sittings.
Listen,
over the course of December.
I'm a man. I'm 40. Come at me. I'm not eating one little piece of chocolate at a time. I'm like,
it's so much fun though. And everyone sometimes has a different flavor.
I'm going to need you now to post on your Instagram stories you reviewing every day of the advent calendar. I think that's like a new gimmick for you.
Dave just texted in, advent calendars are basically just microdosing Christmas.
That's pretty good, Dave.
That's pretty good, Dave.
Gotta say, Dave.
Dave, you're on the ball.
Dave.
He's had his chocolate this morning.
Yeah, Dave, way to come through with that one. Finally, a good text.
Finally, Dave.
Finally, Dave.
Oh, Lee, where you been?
I've had some good DMs.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Yeah, I should have just read some on air. Maybe I'll read them after the break because I don't want to pick up my phone. But I will say that, yeah, I would say the most surprising thing out of all this still is just how quickly it has happened this way. Just how quickly the confidence has been built up with the entire fan base.
It's a lot of wins.
It is a lot of wins, but it's just, again, it's not... It's not what it's been in the past. None of it feels shaky, and they're not going to rip off 15-17. But man, oh man, oh man, oh man. That's the text I keep doing with friends. My friends keep texting me with, I hate myself for believing this much. I hate myself for liking this team this much. But here's my spin for that. And when Kipper brought up how it's November, it's November, even though it's December 2nd. The rent is late in the Kiprios home. I actually don't care. I'm telling you, I'm so broken with the playoff thing. when we get there, we get there. But I'm just absolutely so shattered from it. I said this last year. The one positive thing about the Leafs losing to Montreal is that they actually can't go any lower. You lost to Montreal being up 3-1 after a North Division season where we got to clown on all the cities that matter the most. Everyone can bring up how Boston is the rival. No one cares about Boston. Boston doesn't think about us at all. That's a city that's busy with the Patriots, and they're busy with, you know, the Bruins are far down the pecking order. Honestly, they're probably closer to the lacrosse team. This is what matters. Canadian teams, the Canadian teams. And our biggest regional rival embarrassed our team.
And then look at them this year too. That's
exactly
even worse. If
it's
they
even
were good
worse.
This year,
no, it's even worse. I wouldn't have thought about it. They were horrible. They were horrible, and the Leafs would beat them 98 times out of 100, and they still choked it, and they lost it, and it was so bad. And now I just look at it and go, you can't hurt me anymore. I was already so hurt. So if I have to look back on this season, and that's why I'm trying to tell people to enjoy this, is because this is actually pretty fun. Just enjoy it. Try it on for size. Try it on where you walk into the arena or you sit on your couch, you watch the Leafs and you just think, you know what? This is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I can only watch the Leafs right now and I can only watch them be the best hockey and best hockey team on the planet. Also, think about that. Even without the playoff things included. Yeah, guess what? Leafs, they won playoff series. Who cares? They hadn't won Stanley Cups. Did that take away from your enjoyment in 93 when they were also arguably the best team in hockey?
I wasn't alive.
That makes me sick. Don't ever say that on the show again, okay? Vic, drop that from the podcast. Take that out.
Sorry.
They're the best team in hockey right now.
I agree.
Who cares? Just enjoy it.
When I go through my Twitter feed and it's like, oh my God, I hate myself for caring about the, I'm sucked back into it. It does bug me a bit because it's like, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
Let me enjoy it.
Very much thrilled to watch the Leafs right now. It is an exciting endeavor. And I remember when it was not. Mm-hmm. So embrace that we're going all in. Like I'm jumping in head first. And if it fails, then we'll talk.
For God's sakes.
It's just nice to enjoy something for once. God.
This is a team where when they got Jason Allison, I was like, I think he's got something left in the tank. You know, he still makes plays, man. He's a big body behind the net. When they got Jason Blake, I chanted Jason Blake's name on Canada Day at a party in the faces of my Ottawa Senators fans, friends, going, this is happening. They got Jason Blake, baby. 40 goals. Let's go. This is so much better than that. This is so much better than all the times. Like, what are you leaning on if you're a Leafs fan that's so precious to you that you can't just, like, jump into a moment and be happy for once? That's all. You've been miserable the whole time. So, like, I get it. It's comforting.
Let it in.
Let love in. And if they lose in the first round of playoffs, like I said, it can't be worse than losing to Montreal. Can't be worse. Can't be worse than last year. And then guess what? They'll change everything and then they'll blow everything up. Actually, they probably won't. And it probably is smarter not to, considering how this thing's going now. But it's fun. I'm really having fun watching this team. I'm having fun seeing people turn back to the group. And I'm having fun feeling like the Leafs are on top of the hockey world. And the only thing people can say is that they haven't won. But it's like, have you? Has your team won?
Or is all the Stanley Cups? If your team has won, then
just
good for you.
For everyone, we are aware it's December 2nd. But also, we can't fast forward to April. That's not how this works.
All we can do is live in the now.
Yeah.
Want to do a radio show every day where I talk about how it's not the playoffs?
Yeah.
Today is December 2nd. And it's still not the playoffs. We'll catch you tomorrow. Subscribe to the podcast. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Bungus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy.
We'll talk about a baseball lockout after this.
Playoffs? Yeah. We'll talk about playoffs?
Exactly.
We are going to talk about some gambling after this. We got Thursday Night Football tonight. We got some Jays optimism for the World Series. We got the Raptors with probably too short a line again. All that after the break. It's Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You gonna rap?
Chicka chicka Slim Shady.
No, that's not rapping. That is...
Chicka chicka Slim Shady.
Talking around, grabbing his you-know-what.
it's a Fan Morning Show. Ailish Forfar. It's her show. There's no even reason to mention the other two people that are here. I'll tell you this. This is before we move into, Ailish's massive win yesterday and some of the things that we like tonight moving forward with the world of gambling, the world of sports gambling. I'm so confident in this Leafs team that I've been talking about them in this way, and you know I'm confident because this is what leads me into gambling. I believe in the cursings and the you don't talk about things. Like, if I'm gambling on something with you and you send me, we're winning text, or this is looking like a great bet text, I won't gamble with you anymore. Like, it's done. You're dead to me. That's why, honestly, Blake, he has messaged me a couple of times about how, your bet lost. I swear to God.
It's like, I know. I'm watching it lose.
Blake actually needs to show me receipts of all his wins because I don't think he could possibly have had a win ever since those things have happened, because those are so bad gambling karmaically that I'm like, either you sold your soul to the devil and that's what you do, and that was part of your agreement with the devil, is he's like, I need you to go up there and see my future buddy, old JD, and needle him when he loses his bets. But I just truly believe that you don't get too cocky before it matters, which is when the bet slip is done.
Is that why you put that Blake and I were frauds at the beginning of the show?
No.
I forgot to bring that up.
No. I put it as frauds as you guys are nice people when you're really not. You're supposed to be a team player. He's supposed to be a nice guy. It's just not. I already brought it up with you. Mm. I already brought it up.
Okay, I forgot.
What? When?
I was joking about not liking my work.
Oh,
that's boy. It. I'm so supportive of both. Blake puts out a fast breakdown article. Like, you know who's on top of it? Old JD. You know who's got his back?
I only saw it
old
on JD. Instagram reel.
Yep, it's fine. Yep. No. And you know who did? Oh, hey, Vic. What did you do when you saw it? Put your mic on. What'd you do?
I commented on the video.
What did you do?
I liked the video.
Yeah.
And then I posted it in my story.
Oh, wow. Did I ask you to do any of that?
Nope.
No. Are you just a good
but
guy?
But now you're asking and it's less authentic.
That's it.
How do I comment on it? I only saw it in your Instagram story.
Click on it and then you go to the video.
I didn't want to do
I've
this.
Never done I've never done an Instagram reel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They still exist in a regular feed. Yeah. I'll show you later, Blake.
Yeah, Blake. Oh, Blake.
Blake needs help with
Instagram.
How does
the internet work, liar? So I don't like jinxing things. I don't like jinxing. And yet I feel so confident about this Leafs team that I'm like, nah, they're good. They're good. It's different. I'm sorry. It's good. I'm not even afraid of jinxing. That's how good they
are. You guys are both not in on Leafs to win.
No, I wasn't not in on Leafs to win. I just said that the value of it against a good team. And also we didn't know that JoJo was in that or whatever.
Yeah, back to our conversation yesterday about anything we say, you're responsible for checking your own injury report.
Here's what you can do. You got a notes app on your phone. Take the things we suggest for gambling, put them in your old notes app there, unless we say bet this now because this is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at the injury report before the game starts.
And reevaluate.
And go from there. The only one is the bet before the bet, which I've said before, which is like, hey, if you sometimes think that someone might be out or you don't trust, for example.
Or it's a soft line and you want to beat the line.
I'm going to bring that up when I get to the Raptors. And I'm going to set you up for that. But I want to first go to Ailish, where I said, Ailish won a huge bet yesterday, plus 2,000. That's good.
That's a
really good bet.
Bing bong!
Bing bong! She's rich.
That means if she had bet $100, she would have won $2,000.
I did not bet $100.
No, she did not.
So I liked the thing with me, and I think there are lots of listeners out there. We're getting into this.
No money shaming here.
You know what?
This isn't the rule.
No, and I think when you're just dipping your toe into the gambling world, you don't feel comfortable throwing $50, $100 on things.
1,000%.
I like to throw a little 10 spot down. So I threw $10 on Nazem Kadri to score 2 goals against his old team. It was plus 2,000 odds, and I won $210, and that's really nice.
If you are not Jeffrey Bezos and you're betting plus 2,000 bets, you should make them $10. I just said, you're not going to win a lot of those. So
here's my question.
But when you
flows
you feel great.
Yeah.
Why did you have to get coffee this morning, JD?
I offered for coffee, and he was quicker than me. I'm getting it tomorrow.
This is the story every day.
No, this is how the rich stay rich. this is how the rich stay rich. You think Jeffrey Bezos pays taxes? Hell no, he doesn't. You know who, or at least doesn't pay what his worth is. And guess what? That's the same with...
But now I have lots of money sitting in my little betting account, and I'm ready to spend.
Go ahead.
I was just going to go to the gambling rule off of Ailish's bet.
No, I like the dynamic here when we start talking about gambling, where Ailish has that approach, the small bet, long odds. You are kind of more of a whim and gut feel guy, and I'm a small bets but at large volume,
and you calculate
because I want sample size and I want to know if I'm actually doing well or it's just random or whatever. And yes, I'm suffering from some bad gambling karma right now. From at my worst NBA week of the season last week, and I turned around last night, but my Monday Tuesday wasn't very good either. So
I wonder why that could be. The guy, hey, you know who Blake is? And he is, and he did this again yesterday, and our boss knows this. Blake is the roots against your bet guy. He is.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Blake is the roots against your bet guy. And all I got to say is don't be a Blake in your group chat. Otherwise, you're going to end up like a Blake with your bad gambling karma. That's
not always the case. Sometimes I will do the tag along bet, the emotional support. Like I have a buddy with a ton of money on the Titans that day.
But that's what I'm saying.
I'll do a support bet, a sympathy bet. Blake, to go along with it.
Blake's a simp.
He's definitely not. He's the opposite. But Blake is the person where if he's not in the photos, he's not even going to look at them. You know,
That's not true.
He's like, I don't care. He's like,
what happened on photo day? It was the exact opposite. I was like, these photos of JD and Ailish are wonderful.
Oh, please. I got more messages.
I'm waiting for those photos. Let's go.
I got more messages about Blake from those photo shoots than you or I.
And saying what?
Saying Blake looks jacked. Blake looks huge. One girl actually reached out straight up and was like, your friend is hot. And this guy was all mopey about how he looked in the photos.
He's like, first of all, he's not my friend. Yeah, he's my coworker.
I did. And I said that specifically. I was like, my friends bet with me. They ride with me and they support my bets.
I only do root against the bet if there's a justification for it. Nah, so in the case of our boss last night.
Why do you send me messages when I lose, Blake?
Because it's funny sometimes.
Oh, because you root against the bet.
No, now, I'm not rooting against it. It's just when it happens.
You're a monster.
Everybody
thinks you're this nice guy. That's what I'm saying.
What did Dave say? I microdose being a monster.
Yeah, you do. And then you fully dose being a monster when you send me those messages. So here's my rule for gambling off of Ailish's bet. Mm-hmm. Last night, Ailish, your app offered you a cash out of $13.
Yeah, maybe 16 at the highest after Kadri was up with one goal already.
Here's the rule.
Never.
Never cash out.
No.
If it offers you a cash out, hedge if you're worried about not making any money back. Okay? Make sure you go hedge. A lot of people don't do it. I don't like to do it because I'm stupid. And my whole thing is always, if I hedge, I'm going to lose. And so I get in my head about it and I don't do it often. If it's a big bet though, plus 2,000, I would have hedged it. You can't on that bet.
No.
But I'm just saying, it's nuts. You'll lose $13 versus Valish won 210. Do not cash. Do you know why the reason that the cash out exists?
Because they're scared.
They want to give it to you. They're begging you to take that cash out. So never feel bad. This is all I'll say about the rule. You know who remembers losing bets? Nobody. You just lose all your bets. You know what you will remember for the rest of your days is the time that you cash out and then the bet won. That will go with you till the day you go in the grave.
My only exception to that is if I have, like, for example, the other day with that six-thing parlay and four of them had hit and I was up, like, let's say I was up big money and I was worried about the last two hitting, I would probably cash out then just because I get a little nervous about two more things on a parlay.
This is what I'm trying to tell you though, is don't get nervous. Let it ride. You're not getting enough return. You're getting a fraction of what that 4-team parlay would have been. So
here's the thing. You made that bet for a reason with a certain logic and all that a good cash out option is telling you is that you were on the right track.
The only way that you ever cash out on a bet is if you're watching it live and they haven't frozen it yet. And something like you bet on the Chiefs and they're the last leg of your parlay. And oh my God, Patrick Mahomes is being carted off the field. Every bone in his body is broken.
Yeah, but then they quickly be like, your cash out is zero.
If they do that, then there's nothing to discuss anyways. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, or it's just like if you get something before a game, if something drastically changes and you're like, you know what? I don't want to do this. Then get out. Okay, so Raptors, speaking of, let's get to the Thursday night game. Let's get to the Raptors first. So Raptors Bucks tonight. I haven't looked at the line because I wanted to guess it. But Blake already gave me an indicator that the line he thinks is too short.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess that it's Bucks minus 8.5.
It is minus 4.5.
Oh, whoa. That's absurd. Are the Bucks benching all their guys?
I will bring up the injury report right now. I do not think that's the case.
See, this is a tough one because I'm going to be there, and it's hard to bet against the team when
you're
there.
No, you have to bet the home team when you go to the game. So that's one of my other gambling rules. Boy, you're just like, you getting the whole, I'm trying to dole these things out in increments.
I'm getting the whole lesson today.
Yeah, and I'm not.
So there's no injury report for the Bucks yet. This is something we talked about yesterday about, you know, the challenge of a back-to-back is not necessarily quantifying the impact of the back-to-back. It's that you get a late injury report, so you have what looks like a good line here for the Bucks. But we don't know.
Is anybody questionable?
This is the thing. We don't have an injury report because they're on a back-to-back. They don't have to report it.
Yeah, but did anybody get hurt yesterday or do anything?
Giannis played, Middleton played, Drew Holiday played, and they are basically like in the their normal amount.
Low 30s?
Like Giannis played 38.
High 30s.
Drew played 38. Middleton played 33. DeMarcus Cousins played.
All I'll say is this. If you're going to the Raptors game like Ailish tonight, I always say don't bet against the home team. Maybe bet the over tonight. Cheer for the points.
So the Bucks are like that.
The Bucks
have been playing without Brooke Lopez. He's not expected back anytime soon. Dante DiVincenzo is out indefinitely. But this has been the case the whole year.
4.5. I just guessed a line that was 4 points off. So I, well, that tells you everything I need to know about the side that I would be betting tonight if I was going to bet against the home team, let's just say. If hypothetically I would do that like I have done that recently, or let's say hypothetically I have been doing that lately and sharing that within the group that I have been hypothetically betting against the Raptors a lot lately.
So here's some relevant information if the Bucks don't sit anyone. And this is from TJ Windisch, who is covers the Bucks a little bit. The Milwaukee Bucks, when Giannis, Chris Middleton, Andrew Holiday all play, 10-0.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that trio has only played 150 minutes together. So this is a giant grain of salt, but they have a plus 20.4 net rating, which is monstrous. Unless there's something that these guys aren't going to play tonight, 4.5, even on a back-to-back.
You know what sucks though? Is that it feels like the Raptors are becoming the team where on a back-to-back, if you're a good team, you do rest a player, you know? That sucks. This is what hurts about that line is I wonder if they're assuming that somebody's going to sit and they're saying, you know, Drew Holiday tonight and Giannis, they're not going. It's going to be a Middleton game because the Bucks feel like they can maybe even get a win without those guys. But this is a back to back. Giannis, I don't see the load management thing happening. I bet you if Giannis isn't hurt, he's going to play. Like, that's who he is.
Yeah. This is Toronto. He loves it.
Yeah. So, I think that there's a lot of... I always hate kind of bringing this stuff up with most players, but I think it's true with Giannis. There's a lot of Greek people who live in Toronto, and I think that he knows that, and he's gonna show out.
100%.
Like, that dude knows.
It's always a big night for him here.
Right. So I don't think he sits. I would guess that the only guy that they would maybe consider that with tonight is Drew Holiday. That they go, hey, is this a night where we give Drew a blow? He played 38 minutes last night. He's 100 years old, and we need him. And so maybe him. But even still, that's not enough for me not to bet a -4.5 line when I get Giannis Antetokounmpo versus Pascal Siakam's 18-7.
Yeah, and not only that, but we already know that OG and Ken Burch are out again.
Yeah.
Gary Trent Jr. is questionable.
What's the deal with Gary Trent, buddy? Like, it's calf injuries. Like, that's
a deep bruise.
Oh, God.
Somebody kicked him in the leg. They were like, pass the
ball.
Yeah,
that's what happened. He tripped along the baseline.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, actually?
And took a shot. Yeah, a couple games ago. And it was like... At the time, it looked bad, and he was, like, on the ground massaging his calf, and then he gutted it out. But I guess afterward, it bruised up pretty bad.
I wish we
him.
Had props right now for this game.
I know.
Because I would really be curious as to I would really want to know a couple in this one. Specifically, though, Siakam, because the line has been so consistent with him, sort of where...
17 to 21 points in each of the last
That's what
games.
I mean, is, like, I wonder where he sits in at.
The other thing that's I had intended to do like a Raptors rebound hunter kind of thing because I have been hitting the player props on an opposing player having a big rebounding night fairly often, and I wanted to quantify it, but
just take Giannis rebounds over.
Stathead is down too, like Basketball References player search finder. So yeah. I was gonna try to quantify that and offer it up in a It put some actual numbers behind it. But
still, this feels like a game where Giannis's total for rebounds is going to be set somewhere at like 11.5. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a high, high number. I would actually still lean to take the over. I really do think that Giannis's rebound total would have to be like 13.5 for me to avoid that. If he plays tonight against the Raptors and who they've had, you got to consider too, like, that. I don't believe that that's going to be just like an aberration with Precious Achiuwa and with Siakam when they're the two guys that are being asked to defend the paint like the way that they are with no Ken Burch right now. Like, they're going to get into foul trouble, and there's nothing behind Precious Achiuwa. When he has to step out of the ball game, they go to Chris Boucher now. They go to these small ball lineups, which is only... So, like, I'm just saying, with your rebound prop, the opposing rebound props, I think that that's actually one of the smartest bets you can have. Like, I really do. Also, stats you should know, right? You guys mentioned it last time. Stats you should know. The Raptors' first quarter over bet had hit 14 straight times until the last game. They're missing some pieces, but I'm going to hit that again. I'm going to play that over. Like, Svi Mykhailiuk being in the starting lineup, I don't know if that's going to continue, but if it is there, I have to believe that that is incredible for overs because the guy can't play a lick of defense, and all he does is shoot threes, and he actually shoots them well. Am I wrong here?
No, I don't think so. The only thing is that the thing that always gets me with over-unders is when you have a team that's bad at both ends because, yes, the defense is bad enough that you expect them to give up a lot of points, but also like what burned you in the one the other night was that the Raptors couldn't score.
Yeah.
And that kind of sinks you. So I don't have that one in front of me. And now, honestly, we've talked about this one enough that like, I'm like scrambling, and I can't. Eric Name, my guy at The Athletic, who covers the Bucks, I can't find anything from him about anyone sitting tonight.
Yeah,
some I don't know. That seems.
I'm gonna wait.
Too...
The line's too fishy. I'm gonna wait. I'm not gonna bet that right away. I'm gonna wait. And if I end up missing it because all those guys play, here's what I will say though: is like, if you are gonna play right now, you're definitely using it as a money line, and you're putting it in a parlay. Are we ready to move off Raps and hit the Thursday night game quickly?
Yeah.
We only got a couple minutes. The line tonight is Cowboys at Saints. Saints plus 4.5. Cowboys have been pretty shaky lately. They have not looked like the team that I was really buying a lot of hype on earlier in the season. Saints look like they're going to get Taysom Hill, and I think he's going to start. I think he's the quarterback now. Finally, they decided, hey, if we're going to pay this guy all this money, we should probably play him. Their option was Trevor Siemian. He's coming off of an injury, though. I know he knows the playbook. He's been around for a really long time. Is there any way that you're looking at this? The total is 47.5, which is Vegas's way of saying we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen from a scoring standpoint in this game. So just, you know, take a shot. 47.5 is the ultimate. You would choose your own adventure with the total. 4.5 is kind of a similar thing. Is there any ways that you guys are feeling about this? I think I'm just looking at touchdown scores tonight, to be honest.
That's what I always lean into. It's more fun for me to watch a game like that I'm not really super invested in, Cowboys and Saints, like, well, kill me. But I would rather watch cheer for a touchdown score or like, I like the little fun player props more than a spread. Or
I'll be doing a bet builder tonight for sure, but the one that sticks out to me right away, and I love, so with player props, what I really like to do is I like to look at it and see what sticks out to me and then see if the numbers back that up with any type of statistical advantage and start to do a deeper dive. I will say this. His first game back, Taysom Hill, plus 165 to score a touchdown. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I like Taysom Hill to be able to scramble one in here and for them to design plays for him where he's in the red zone. If he's playing, it's because that's what he's good at. So Taysom Hill, touchdown prop, plus 165. I kind of like that. If you don't, I would look at one of the two receivers for the Saints. Both Tre'Quan Smith and Callaway are plus 275 and plus 285. Harris plus 300. One of those three guys I would take a shot at, knowing that, hey, they're going to get the receivers involved. I think that they lose this game. I think that Taysom Hill throws the ball a lot. I think they open up the offense because he's back. One of those three guys to score a touchdown, pick your poison. But that's where I'm leaning in on. And that's what I'm going to be looking into later today is, hey, does Taysom have any type of a preference towards any of those three? Anything that you guys like from this game?
Nothing stands out. I mean, I got to dig into the player props a little bit more. I think a Taysom Hill rushing touchdown is probably interesting one.
Plus 165 for a touchdown.
That's not a lot because that's just...
But that's rushing and receiving, but there is no specific for rushing. But yes, it's like there's plus 165 right now on Coolbet for Taysom Hill to hit it.
Yeah, and then there's also over 37.5 rushing yards for Hill as well.
I like that too.
So I don't want to be like over leveraged on Taysom Hill, but they're going to him for a reason, and it's because they want to shift things up. The actual line, Cowboys minus 4.5, and that over under, they're right in projection range.
Yeah.
So not a lot of edge there, I don't think.
Yeah, I think I will just do a bet builder. I think I will just do player props on this game. I don't like the line. I don't like the total. If anything, I would slightly lean towards the under, given how Dallas's defense has looked and the question mark they have with Hill. But nah, I also think like Sean Payton loves playing the Cowboys, that this is like, hey, Sean Payton wants to break things out. That's why I would look to the Taysom Hill props. If Sean Payton's going to his quarterback in a feature game against the Cowboys, the game after his contract, I think those things matter. So I would be looking at the Taysom Hill props tonight. I'd be looking at the touchdown. I'd be looking at the rushing yards. And I would be looking at, do we have his? No, we don't. I don't have that up yet, is what his actual player totals are for his pass yards. Because I would also be even looking at what Taysom Hill's pass yards are too. So yeah, I'm all in on Taysom Hill tonight is what I'm trying to tell everybody. let's take a break. You can get Taysom Hill in the bet builder all the way down to 169.5 for pass yards. I'm
actually, sorry, before we take a break, I don't want to overdo the Bing Bonga, but this Monday, Raptors 905 will play their annual game at Scotiabank Arena, and we want to send you.
Whoa!
I thought you were going to say we were going. I was like, I didn't agree.
No. I might go.
I will be going.
Yeah.
But if you are caller number 5 right now.
Whoa!
416-870-0590,
or 1-888-666-0590 or *590. Hit any of those if you're caller number 5 to watch Raptors 905 take on Capital City Go-Go, the G League affiliate of the Washington Wizards, on Monday at 11 a.m. Just a heads up, each fan age 12 or older must present proof of full COVID-19 vaccination along with government-issued ID. Children under the age of 12 must be accompanied by a fully vaccinated adult. For more info on tickets, visit Ticketmaster.ca. Again, caller number 5 right now, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590. A little Bing Bonga action.
Woo!
Those day games at Scotiabank while the Raptors are at home tend to be heavy assignment days. I think you're going to see a lot of Raptors down there
for that one.
So check it out and give me a wave if Bing you win Bonga! Those tickets. After the break, I talk to Colby Armstrong about your red hot Toronto Maple Leafs.
Woo!
That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.